There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And what were the final results? Lou's got to look at me and report back later. We did do a survey on how many hours Dutch should do on the air. But I think it was split. To, you know, equal parts. So I really thank you guys for taking part in that. Make sure you check out DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We're also on Facebook. Go to Facebook, check us out. I just uploaded three videos or four videos, something like that, onto Facebook for people there, just doing some more recruiting, some more reinforcing. I keep getting the same kind of emails. What do I do? I don't know what to do. How do I justify being a Christian and militant? So that means you probably just started listening because I've covered this stuff, and we're going to keep recycling through it. That's why I like doing it. If you go through Facebook, you'll get a bunch more stuff than you do just from the show. If you go to the forum, watch your headphones, so you're going to pull everything down. The forum and that kind of stuff. You'll get a chance to network and do stuff like that. Orland is saying he thinks Mark Kornke is right on the Korean situation. I haven't listened. I'm sure it's saber-rattling. I'm sure it's distractionary myself. I can tell you right now that I have not received any incoming rounds from North Korea, so therefore I'm not too worried about it. I know that they're just using it to heat up the media to hide the other stuff they're doing. That's what I believe. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, although I do pray for the people that are getting bombed over there, the regular individuals. I mean, here it is. Everybody goes, this is the modern age. That's never going to happen. And you've got North Korea bombing civilian targets. If anything, it's just another reason for you guys to get your stuff together. Mike, I don't know if you're listening, but my last message was bring your gear Sunday, and I'll show you how to use it. Bring your gear Sunday. Bring your gear Sunday to church. People are telling me, I don't know how to hook my gear up. I don't know how to do this. Okay, we're going to do it again. Everybody likes to miss the classes when I do them, so I'm going to, just like this radio show, we're going to go over the stuff again. Anyone listening that wants to come Sunday, to bring your gear. Bring all your gear. Don't bring some of your gear. Bring all of your gear, and after chow, we will sit down, and I will show you how to hook that stuff up. And then we'll take it all. No, but we will make sure that we find a way to get you set up. People are panicking right now because they let the stuff sit in their closet and didn't take the time to do it right. Your failure to do it a long time ago and panicking now does not make it an emergency for me. And I'm not saying mean, but that's what what my whole Sunday lesson was. It's what this show is about. People have got to step up. So bring your gear to church this coming Sunday after Thanksgiving weekend, and we will be there, and I will show people individually. We will make it a teachable moment. We will sit in a big circle. And I will show people what they've got on their gear, how I would hook it up. Now, that doesn't mean I'm the final word. It just gives you an idea. I constantly bring my gear to church and show my brothers and sisters where and how I put stuff on. Take notes. Please stop coming to my classes without notebook and paper and pencil, pen, crayon, whatever you need. Take notes, because there's going to come a time when I stop repeating it. Do you give the Alice stuff to the D? Yeah, I love Alice gear, Batfag's asking. The Alice pack, World War II stuff, whatever you have is fine. I'm not a real big fan of the modern Velcro Molly stuff. I sell it. I own it. I like the older stuff. I really do. I really like the older stuff. I'm watching TSA people molest little children on TV right now. Excuse me. I Let's just do that. So if you can pick up an Alice pack for $20, Bat Fag, that's great. That's what Lou carries, an Alice pack. He doesn't call it Alice. I think he calls it Betty or something. Don't you, Lou? Don't you have a special name for your backpack? Stacy's not here today. She made a Costco run for supplies with Grandma and Grandpa. And pizza. They're going to get you pizza. I don't know. So that'll be good there. You won't hear Stacy throwing out her strange things in the background, like, you know, Danny Bonaducci. What does that have to do? Well, I was just thinking about him. And I'll say that in front of her. I love that kind of stuff. I love the way she gets mad and throws stuff in like that. The phone is hooked up. The phone number to call in is 559-875-0827. 559-875-0827. Only call if you are listening on the 23rd of November 2010 between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m. Pacific time. Well, actually, you can't call between 6 and 7 because we're going to have Steve Klein on again. And he's going to be talking about, and I'm going to be interviewing him on the first jihads and different great battles in history and how Christians dealt with them then, how we can learn from our Christian founding fathers in Europe and how they dealt with the threat of Islam. And I'm getting a lot of emails about people saying, why are you focusing on Islam? Okay, you want to be an expert in something else? Call up. When I got experts reaching out to me and Islam is their bag and they're willing to go on the air, fine. So every Tuesday, we're going to have like an Islam update, and that'll help relieve me of some time. I'll do a five to six, and then Steve Klein will join me from Code 20, abolishislam.com, 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 and it'll be really good. And then the other thing, let's see, what else am I getting emails about? Today we're going to talk about communications. That was the most common thing, because I guess I mentioned it in the last couple of days about communications being critical, and everybody's like, well, what are we going to do? Talk about it again if you missed it. You can go back in the archives, but I would rather you just keep tuning in, and we'll just keep hitting these things, especially in the first hour. When we're on Liberty Tree Radio and we've got all the hardcore militia guys, I'm not making fun of them, I'm just stating a fact. We don't want to bore them too much. You know, because we like having them listen to the Christian message too. You know, that I'm putting out. Boy, look at everybody in there. We got let's see, who do we got? We got Warland, Rocky Hill, Olima, Graham 242, the ever effervescent Bat Fag, Minuteman, Scotty. Who else is in here? I got to scroll down. There's so many people. There's like 5,000 people listening, and a unnumbered amount of guests that welcome guests. Thank you for tuning in. Wherever you're hearing me from, please let us know. Email us at Dutch Jones. Excuse me. The new email is dutch@dutchjones.info. Give me a signal report, and we will know. Why are you? Yeah, Lou's giving me hand signals because he's giving me a signal report. Different kind of signal report. You're like an Alka-Seltzer, Bat Fag. That's why I said effervescent. You have to be taken when someone's sick, and, you know, it's just the way it goes. You're a cure for what ails people. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I made a comment last night in public. People were talking about TSA and them groping little kids. And I said, well, I go, Lewis, because Lewis is with me in public. I said, if you ever wondered what it was like to be a young Catholic boy, you can always just go into the airport over there, because by the Fresno airport, and have TSA fill you up. It's no different than being a choir boy and getting filled up by a Catholic priest. I got some dirty looks in public from that one. But I want you guys to encourage that type of sentiment when people are complaining about the TSA, and just say, well, you know, Catholic, yeah, you won't get any wine either. They won't drink. You know, at least the TSA guy is going to say thank you when he's done. And next, so I find it, I just find it amusing that everybody's all upset about little ladies and old women getting molested at the airports, but they don't care about the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church now is saying those little rubber thingies you put on your winky to help stop the seed from being planted. Did I say that nice enough? You know, I'm waiting for criticism on that one, but, you know, we're just like, they're all distracted. They're all distracted by everything else going on. Let's see, what else was there I wanted to talk about that was funny? There was a couple. I didn't get as many emails as usual, so I'm either not controversial enough, or I'm hitting things on the head again, and people are just like, oh, okay. We got an email back from Larry Wick from Split Second Survival. For those of you that are thinking about maybe coming out to the church and doing a seminar, he wants to know more about us. So I sent him some videos. If you go to Facebook, you'll see all the videos that we put up. I also sent those to Larry Wick. And if he doesn't respond because he's afraid of us or something, that's on him, not on us. We'll call him. Say, why are you not like us, Larry? I'm watching people get wanded on Fox News. That's one of the benefits come down here. I get TV and good DSL, but we can't live down here. It's too unsafe to live in a city. So without further ado, we're going to hit communications again. Not because I think that you didn't listen to me, but I think it's important that we hit it again and again and again. And what is communications? It is the transfer of information between a sender and an unknown or a specific number of receivers. Doesn't matter if it's mechanical, physical, spiritual, biological, chemical, light wave, sound, what else could it be? I don't think it was sensation, touching. The lowest level of communications tactically would be squeezing and hands-on one another of your teammates. Not like TSA, but like conveying information like go, yes, no, left, right, depending on which shoulder you squeeze, those types of things. So let's start out with the most basic because it's the hardest to convey over radio. We could turn the camera on, but you guys need to seek this out. You need to just simply go to Google Images or Yahoo Images and type in military hand signals, and you'll see a bunch of funny ones. There'll be some good ones. You need to download those and practice them. I keep handing them out to people and they don't practice them. I test them at church. I go up to them and I do, and Lewis and I have got most of them down, and we'll do them and they'll go, what'd you say? I said, you're not practicing your hand signals, are you? Yeah, Lou's doing the funny ones right now here. Maybe we'll make a video of Lou doing all the bad ones. Yeah, we have to do our Masonic handshakes, too. Thanks, Batfag. No, Lou, I'm not doing any Masonic handshakes. Get your hands back on your side of the room. But signed, and it doesn't have to be standardized. The reason I'm telling you to look at the military ones, so maybe if you see the enemy doing them, you'll know what they're about to do. Come up with your own, too. We've come up with about a dozen of ones that we've made up. We use about 8 or 9 of the stock ones. But we've made up our own, and we give those to select people to study, and it seems like nobody wants to study them. Okay. If I have to get your attention by shooting the cinder block above your head to get you to look at me so I can get you to do what I need you to do, I'm going to do it. Have the signal for choking. That would be hands across the throat, someone's asking. So you can and teach them to everyone. A good point was brought up. Says not just the militia, but what if we're at our church, it's after services, and the kids are playing in the park, the ladies are doing their stuff, and somebody in the park sees a man on the hill with a gun and binoculars. And the person doing the dishes is always looking out the window watching the kids in the park. It's just the way it goes. It's just kind of fun to watch the kids play. And the playground attendant wants to convey to the lady in the window that, hey, there's a gunman up here on the hill with binoculars and a pistol or a rifle. How does she do it without, because she'd have to run down to the church and abandon the kids. She would have to get all the kids running down there, which would alert this possible threat. So you come up with sign language. Hand signals, that's all it really is. And a system that, hey, the person doing the dishes keeps an eye on the playground attendant. Period. And you work it out. Because we've got different ones for bad guy, good guy, unknown, man, woman. And you practice them. Let's say, for instance, I'm in the back of the church, which is my position as security, in the very back row, and I'm watching the parking lot out the window while I'm listening to the sermon, while Lou is to my right, doing the audio. And the pastor's constantly looking around the room and he's checking with me. And I see a threat out the window that the pastor can't see. How can I, without alerting and alarming and causing a panic, which wouldn't happen anyway, of the people in the church service, to let him know I can do our signal and point out a subtle hand signal that he will know that there's a threat? See? We're not even going to go into what the proper reaction would be, but I'm just telling you the basics of communication are key. Key. Like when we went to, we did a couple things wrong when we went to the mosque on Sunday night. Was it Sunday night, Lee? Yeah. Like we didn't have a distress signal for all of us. Like if I tug my right ear, it means everybody moved towards the exit. You know? You got to come up with these things even for social situations. Practice them with your spouse. You're over somebody's house. She's invited you to a coworker's house for, you know, tea and crumpets, and you're finding out that they're flaming liberals. You know, they got pictures of Obama up in the bathroom, which would be funny if they were in the urinal. But and you just like, we got to go. But you come up with a hand signal where you put your thumb on your right jaw and run it down to the tip of your chin and just kind of play with your chin means, okay, it's time to get out of here. We got to be gone in 5 minutes. And then you may have an immediate one, you know, where you just reach across and grab your loved one's wrist and squeeze it 3 times. It means we're getting out of here now. You know, and come up with code words. I used to have a code word with my ex-wife, because she was always dragging me to places like that, where I'd say, did you clean my work clothes for tomorrow? Are they ready to go? And she, no, I'm sorry. Well, we better get going then. And it gives them an excuse. My ex-grandmother-in-law, who was adorable, used to just look at her husband and say, let's go to bed so these people can go home. And I still love that one today, but that's in your face, a little less covert. So it's just the way it goes. And you want something that is non-indicative of what you're actually trying to convey. You know, a shaking of the head to the right with your head tilted going, and your eyes rolling to the top of your head like this guy's an idiot. No, that's not what you want to do. You want something that you're never going to connect to it. You know, kind of like baseball signals and stuff. Do you know how they do that? You don't have to be that elaborate. The subtler, the better. You don't want some big sweeping arm movements. One, they're hard to do in battle. And two, they draw attention to yourself. What good is it to say, cover me, I'm running over to the bunker to throw a grenade if your hand movements are bizarre? You might as well just scream it so the enemy can hear it. They'll figure it out. Carol Burnett used to tug on her ear to say goodnight to her mom or her grandma or something. Real subtle. I mean, once it got out, everybody knew what it was, and it became like the standard, hi, Mom. So, yeah, it does sound like a Steve Martin movie, you know. You don't want to telegraph your moves. So hand signals are critical of the cause of making sure that your people are secure and that if you're on patrol, you get back alive, those kind of things. Hand signals, body contact, simple verbal crypto sayings that you can do. You don't need to make it that complicated. In fact, start simple. Don't download like all 200 hand signals and say, "Hey, people, we're going to get these by next Sunday." Focus on some simple ones that you need, like intruder, bad man, stranger, threat. You know, that kind of stuff. No problem. Symbolism. Okay, the simplest way to talk about this is in college. And you guys, when they had a girl in the dorm room, they would hang a coat hanger on the doorknob telling the roommate, don't come in, I'm getting some. Vulgar, I know. But that is, if a college guy can come up with that, why can't you come up with something better? Why can't you come up with that? A certain porch light not on at certain times of night. A porch light on during the day means something. A certain curtain hung in the window. A vase in the window means something. Now, they have to be things that you can do when you're under duress, especially if you're being held hostage or something. You know, don't make it so complicated. Oh, you have to put one tall, one short drinking glasses in the window of the above the sink. It's not going to be that quick. The curtains are pulled out of the kitchen window, meaning in the fight, you do everything you can to pull those curtains out. Your husband pulls up, he looks up, hey, the curtains are out, something's gone on. You know what I mean? Porch light's on. I've used that one since I was a little kid. My dad taught me that one. Hey, if the cops are coming around asking for me, they're waiting for me, turn the porch light on, because we never had our porch light on. The only time that porch light came on is when we were going out that front door, something at night, and it got turned off when we came in for two reasons. Stealth, and because my dad didn't want to pay the electric bill. Window shades at certain heights, Batfag's talking about, exactly. You know, there's so many different things you can do. I could write books on this, and if I did, maybe I'd make more money. Maybe I should be writing books and only giving a few of these things out for free. I don't know. I like tape. If you're trying to convey a message to another cell, it might be a masking tape X on a telephone pole at a certain intersection after a certain date and time means this. It only works if the receiver has an idea. He may not even know what the true meaning of it is, but it means if you see an X on this light pole after 5:15 on November 23rd, it means you need to go to a street corner in Fresno and put a red dot on the back of the stop sign at 4th and Main. And then that will get to somebody else. That's how you create a visual network. But you have to make sure that the people who need to know what it is. And you have to protect that code very closely. Another good way to convey is for people to use a common book, and you come up with a way to communicate using page, paragraph, line, word in the line from left to right. As long as everybody has the book, you like Catcher in the Rye, or, you know, if we were to do King James Bible, you know, then, you know, a certain printing of it, that would be too obvious. The enemy would figure that out. But if we took like the 1964 Datsun pickup maintenance manual, where you could go get those online for fairly cheap, and everybody in your cell or area had one of those and use that as the basis for your communications, great. Covert stuff is a little more detailed, and I just wanted to touch on it tonight to kind of give you an idea of the way I think and the way I've learned from studying history, the Maquis, those types of things, especially as we get into cell warfare. The focus of the show is going to be more and more cell warfare. Not lone wolfing it, not major, huge unit stuff, because there are other people talking about that stuff, and honestly, I don't know much about that. I was an MP. I worked in three-man teams, maybe a squad size at the most. That's just the way it was. I'm not an expert in, you know, battalion-to-battalion combat. And I've seen some pretty amazing things done with stealth stuff. Having worked in jails as a transport officer, and I've talked to prison guards, I know a lot of prison guards. These guys in prison will come up with some of the most amazing ways to communicate. We've got a couple people in our group that are I guess they like to be called correctional officers. They get mad at me when I say prison guards. But no disrespect meant. They're not law enforcement, I'm sorry. But they're, you know, I'm not meaning to degrade them by calling them a guard. Still a dangerous life. Thanks, Bat Fag. But the way they communicate in prisons are amazing. If you can watch any specials. Lou was watching a bunch of them. What was it called? Lockup. On what channel? Do you know? It was on cable. Huh? MSNBC. Yeah, and they had a bunch of ways that they would figure out ways. Look at the way prisoners of war have communicated through taps, dashes, secreted messages. And that's just the way, you know, you've got to find out how they did it. A string passed, you know, a dyed string passed through a crack in the cinder block, tugged back and forth a certain number of times, whether it be Morse code or your own code, and then using boot polish or toothpaste, hiding that string in the hole in the wall. But yet you can convey it. If you have everyone with that, you could relay a message to everyone on your cell block. A string tossed out with a little bit of a weight on it, gone to the next room, and then they'd tug back and forth and tap out a message. Because they'll be listening for tapping on the walls. Most prison staffers are going to listen for them. They'll yell at you, shut up, don't do that. It's critical that you come up with these things now. I mean, you can come up with them after you're in the FEMA camp. If you're not listening to what people like me and others are telling you and you end up in the FEMA camp. But doing it under stress of being pressured, it's going to be hard to come up with good communication stuff. Have the tools now that you're going to need. Get your tin cans and string now. It'll be easier to get them now in a peacetime situation than in a post-collapse situation or full-on war situation. FRS radios. I got a listener just sent me, hey, I got FRS radios. Do you guys need some? We got extra? I'm like, yeah. As soon as we get the FRS radios, we're going to ship you back a bunch of training DVDs. Thank you so much. That's what networking is about. We needed. I told you guys I smashed a brand new radio in one training cycle last year. Crushed it right in the tailgate of our truck. It's just it's too bad. But somebody's stepping up. FRS radios, 2-meter radios, marine radios, anything that sends a signal, and you have the ability to either have the receiver or you know someone that has the receiver, keep it, maintain it. I don't know if our Kingsmen are in here today. I think they're working late. But you got to do what you got to do. And everything, if it, CBs, everybody's asking me, should I continue to buy CBs? Yes. Baby monitors, intercom systems, little children's Channel 14 Star Trek communicator walkie-talkies from the 70s. Yes. 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 Hey, Kingsman. So I was just over. I was over Robbie's house picking up Ruger the Wonder Puppy, and I noticed. I just kind of looked around and saw all the ham radios. I think they were business band radios. I swear to God, they had something Marconi built on that front porch, and you know something, you know, like giant tube type stuff. You've got to be that way. You've got to collect every piece of communication you can. And get your ham license. People say, well, I don't want to get a license. It's the best way to practice. Get your ham license, go to these swap meets, go to these meetings, pick the brains of these ham operators. I am suggesting you even get involved in volunteer emergency communications with your sheriff's department, local Red Cross, Office of Emergency Services. The more you can learn about communications, the better it is. Plus, you'll get some insight. You learn what the frequencies are. Learn about trunking. Learn about how codes, everything that you can possibly get from what may potentially be one of our enemies. I'm not saying that everyone in uniform is an enemy. I get critiqued for that, and sometimes I play it too hard. I bang on that banjo a little too strong. But that's not what I think. I know that there are good men in uniform, good women in uniform.
Get up against the wall.
I'm going to break right now. We'll be back after the break.
I'll run my hands inside your thighs, up your legs and out of sight. But you can trust the TSA to help you make it to your flight. We don't profile, that'd be wrong. Just ask the ACLU. We'd rather check your nooks and crannies. Every inch of you. They got no life except my job, but I don't mind that it's alright. I get to grope you legally if you wanna take a flight. This badge and uniform we wear, well, it might look like a rent-a-car, but your life is in our hands. We like it that way, especially if your heart is awful lonely being me. No girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. So let me squeeze you, ooh, right there. If you wanna take a flight, you can trust the TSA.
You'll be in our dreams tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Without all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order. Attention!
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
That's a disturbing image.
This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back after a short break. Thank you for listening and sticking through. I want to welcome everybody for tuning in. Anybody that's coming in early because Steve Klein told him to come by and tune in. We don't normally have this buzz here. That's just because we're mobile and we can't get rid of it. We have a different kind of buzz when we're in our studio. But stick with us for the next half hour. Steve Klein will join us at the top of this hour, which will be 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to talk about early jihads in Europe and what Christian men did then to respond. And we've been talking about communications now. What we are here is we do Christian militant worldview on everything. We do dominion mandate. We believe in application of our skills to resist all evil, to defend all innocent life, to stand in the gap. And part of that is being able to talk to one another. So that's what we're doing now. We're talking to one another about how to talk to one another. And it's like whenever the break goes on, I'm like, oh, I forgot to say this, I forgot to say that. I get a lot of emails, people saying, why are you telling everybody to use FRS? You need to get these like $2,000 radio kits. You can encrypt them and they scramble and they won't be able to listen. Well, of course, if you take your FRS radio, even for short-range communications, I've used them up to 16 to 20 miles on the desert, peak-to-peak on mountains. People are going to listen in. I know that. That's where your code comes in, and you rotate your code. You rotate your verbiage. You train your people well. You don't just get on there and say, hey, guys, we're getting ready to send out a patrol. There's going to be six men in it. They're going to go out the northeast edge of the perimeter, out the gate there. They're going to be gone for 4 days. This is where they're going. No, you don't say that on the radios. People who yell at me like this have no training and no discipline. And I'm sorry to sound mean, but I'm tired of getting that kind of email. We're too far along in the game for you people to not be getting it. Don't call me, send me an email or something and tell me, you don't know what you're talking about, man. Because I do know what I'm talking about, and if you listen to the show for more than one day to critique it, maybe you'd pick up on that. So study this stuff that I'm telling you. Don't just take it for granted and think or critique it. Research it yourself. So FRS radios, the cool thing about FRS radios is they got multiple channels because of subaudible tones and all this kind of stuff. You can matrix your communication channels, and everybody can have the same radios, but you can have, I don't know, what is it, like 120 different channels? Kingsman, help me out here. But if you use different digital aspects of the radio, that's fine. You can do it with whatever you have, and FRS radios are cheap. But you've got to have communications. And as Minuteman's pointing out in the chat room, you get your ammo, your food, and your bandages first, then your transportation. But if you, while you're out there seeking these things, you're going to find CBs. You're going to find walkie-talkies. You're going to be at a yard sale or an estate sale, and you're going to find out the guy, you know, has got 27 Marine radios that nobody knows what they are and nobody wants them. You'll find these deals, so you have to prepare yourself. Even though you're not budgeted for it now or it's not in your plan, because you can survive without walkie-talkies. You can. I'm not going to lie to you. You can. But your life will be made a lot easier if you haven't, because you're not going to have the batteries. Make sure you go with rechargeable batteries with solar rechargers. That's the other thing, a good point that I always forget to make because I assume everybody knows that. Hand crank generators, solar chargers, wind chargers, water chargers, something that I'm making up here. I'm using old bicycle parts to use the river nearby us. King's been saying he stays away from FRS. I'm not sure why you would do that. I mean, I can see why you would do it now because everybody's using them. But in a post-collapse tactical situation, they come in very handy. But if you've already got 2 meter and stuff like that, why not go the extra depth? If you've got 440, if you've got ham stuff, if I'm throwing out things you don't know, that means you need to go find out about them. Ham radios are great. UHF, VHF, all that stuff, long distance talking. I don't know the specifics on that, but I just know that's what ham radio operators do. So I'm encouraging you, if you've already got all your stuff together, find a ham club in your area. Find an emergency services volunteer group that uses communications and start learning. About every 2 months, I put an ad out in the local Free Cycler saying, hey, I need radios. And every month, I get at least a couple CBs out of it for free. I got to drive somewhere to pick them up, but I got CBs. kosher ham radio. Warland, man, you're competing with Batfag for the funniest non-PC comments, aren't you? Is that a kosher ham radio? Can Muslims use ham radio, I wonder? Lou, would that be, could a Muslim use a ham radio? Would he have to be cleansed afterward? Lou doesn't know. Lou doesn't have a microwave today. I have VHF, UHF, it just jumped. Dual band receivers. Batpack's asking, if you bought the obsolete equipment on eBay, do you think the man would track you like they do firearms? I'm assuming that and that's a good question, Batpack. I'm assuming that everything I do is tracked. Unless I'm buying it from one of my direct brethren, I figure it's being reported in some manner. Even if I'm paying with shekels or whatever, face-to-face, I'm going to assume that somebody knows I have it. To do otherwise would be unwise. Our cell phones, you know, they have, we talked a little bit about it in a Minuteman's class, and it's been long known that cell phones track you. Your phone in your house, they can turn them on, turn them off, and listen to what you're doing. They're, just assume that they know what you have. That's why I always say yard sales and swap meets are the best way to go first. Yard sales and swap meets are the best way to go first. And ads and papers and communities you don't live in, I always use fake names. I'll go to another community. I'll start, and like, if we got some money, we'll go into a different community and buy stuff, and I'll lie. Where are you guys from? Oh, I'm down visiting from Oregon. I'm from Medford, Oregon. Yeah, my name's Bocephus Lilywomper. You know, you don't make it so comical that they're like, huh? But you just lie to people. Lilywomper. I just made that off the top of my head. Lee liked that one. The biblical doctrine of deception. You know, driving into another state and getting stuff. Paying cash, lying about who you are and where you've been. Got a rental car. It's time, folks, you start getting serious about this stuff. Yeah, Batfag said it. Fletch was one of my favorite movies growing up as a teen. Made me want to become a private investigator. If you can't act like Fletch out there, it's kind of like we were talking about at the mosque. If I can't sit there surrounded by Muslims and keep my cool, maybe I don't belong in this business. I'm not saying I didn't have a little bit of fear in the back of my mind. But you got to keep your cool, folks. Collect this equipment. Check out what your grandparents have. You'd be surprised. I've run into people that go, I just found out my sister's a ham radio operator, and she wants to donate all of her stuff to us. Kingsman, that's how I got all of it wasn't ham, it was Civil Air Patrol radios. That's probably the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me, Batfag. He says I sound like Chevy Chase. I like that. Chevy Chase is one of my favorite comedians. I love him in Fletch. Fletch is wonderful. Bill Murray, and I don't know, I could do a whole show just on those guys. But getting this communication gear is very important. The old crank-up communication phones from World War I and World War II, I don't care what manufacturer they are, if they work, and the twin lead wire, you bury it, you hide it in trees. I like burying it, putting it in conduit, you know, depending on the terrain you're in, how long it's going to last. Hiding it places and running it when you need it. They come into your facility, and the first thing they do is they cut off your phones and jam the radio frequency so you can't use your radios. But if you've got hand crank radios or radios that work off the voice, what am I talking about? When you talk, it moves a diaphragm, which is enough electricity. Yeah. You could communicate just like that between your buildings if you're under siege. Your LPOP, you can have hundreds of yards of wire, and nobody will ever know what you're sending a signal to your base camp. Right? Think about old Navy ships. How did they communicate? Tubes, and they would blow in the tubes and then go, blah, 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 and the guy at the top would go, blah, 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 and they'd be able to figure it out through practice. Through practice. So, every layer you can imagine, you've got to have if you have the ability to get it. Okay, right now we have 3 FRS radios between me, Lewis, and Stacy. We actually have more than that because Anthea has a couple of little cheaper ones that people have given to me, little audio box, little tiny ones that only go like a mile. But sometimes a low power one is what you want so your signal doesn't leave your area. We've got the ones that go 16 to 20 miles. Those are great, but maybe they're too powerful. Learn to operate your radios on half a watt rather than the full 5 watts or whatever they are. because you may not want people picking it up outside your area of operations. Know your equipment. I get a lot of emails. Somebody asks me, what about 10 code? I don't like 10 code. I like plain language. It's easier to hide what you're meaning in plain language. If I'm going 1026, 1025, we got a 10100 going on down here at 1036. People are going to know you're trying to hide something. They're going to know, okay, they're trying to hide something. So they're going to pay a little bit better attention. They're going to try and track your movements. They're going to try and match what you're saying with what's going on. But follow this code. Well, Lewis, this is Dutch. I need you to stop by the Shell station, get your mom one of those chocolate roses, make sure you get a quart of oil, and please tell Bob the mechanic that we're going to be down there tomorrow with the 4Runner for a complete oil change and all that. People listening are going to be like, oh, yeah, great, just regular stuff. But what I'm really telling them is, get this, get that. It may not even be going to the Shell station. But he will go to the Shell station and make it look like he's doing that stuff in case they're following him. Capiche? And Luce always says everything but capiche when I say that. Do you understand what I'm putting down here, folks? We're in a critical age. We're in a critical period of time. God's given us the grace to work these things out. Lou, they're talking to you in the chat room. He's all playing. He's loving the puppy. Luke, giving Lou a puppy was like, you know, he's loving that better than I think when I gave him a rifle. He's loving this dog. Every boy should have his own dog to take care of. He and Anthea. Anthea's going to be here tomorrow. They're going to be fighting over it. So you got to be a little more gracious with Anthea, Lou, and share the doggy. This dog's done tuckered out because everybody's been playing with it all day. Even Grandma. Grandma's been doing it. You can use a red laser point-to-point that can shoot through the window to into a dark house, and it can be seen on the walls inside where you can use it for... Yeah, lasers for communications. I've used microwave horns out of microwaves. I ran into these guys when I was in San Bernardino County. From way up on the mountain, 30 miles away, this one militia guy had a microwave horn. Down in Loma Linda, the other guy had a microwave receiver, and vice versa. And they were pinpoint communications. If they didn't have them exactly pointed at one another, you couldn't get lucky enough to intercept the signal. You'd have to be flying around and maintaining station to pick up on it. Bat Fag's pointing out something good. I love it when things in the movies. It's kind of like in the Dirty Harry movie when Harry was ordering coffee and the waitress poured too much sugar into the cup so that he came back and caught the robbery. Yeah. Duress codes. Duress codes. But even ordinary, everyday stuff. Look at the Navajo code talkers. A grenade was a potato. A tank was a turtle. And then they used their words for them, which had never been written down. Now, we're not lucky enough to have any Navajo people with us or anything like that. Huh? Navajoan. But we can come up with our own stuff, slang. I mean, we've got people in our church that speak Latin and Greek. Lou and I, are you down? Did you get those language things? I think it's still down. Yeah, we're getting different language training for things. Why not? Suddenly I come on there and I start speaking in Aramaic. Or I don't know if that would be it. What are they going to do? It's going to take them a while to figure it out. And then if those words are code words for something else, only through intense observation will they break the code. And then you change your codes on your communication systems. You have to have a dedicated person. I mean, everybody right now, it's like two of us, three of us are doing everything, and everybody demands, how come we don't do this? How come we don't do that? I'm getting ready to slap people around in my group. I did a little bit last Sunday. You got a great idea. Why don't you come to us and promote this, and you do it, and then we'll decide, okay, this is good. Run with it. Everybody's saying, why don't we have a radio code yet? I go, I got one. Me and my family got one. What do you got? The truth is, I'll break out the books when the time comes, but... Yes, we are taking callers right now. The phone number is different, though, and we can take calls for about the next 14 minutes. 559-875-0827. 559-875-0827. And that number is only good for the next couple of days. We don't want you calling the in-laws' house and asking for Dutch Jones when I'm on the air up in Cahuilla. It really torques them off. I mean, they don't go to bed early or anything, but they're like, is Dutch there? Then they're like, no! Because I don't think they even know I'm called Dutch. But if somebody wants to call in with your ideas about communications or coding, hardware, software, whatever. But I'm not to the point now where I think it's too late, but we're getting there to be doing these things. Semaphore, flags. You've got an OP on a hill 20 miles away, beyond your communication skills because you didn't plan, farther than a wire will go. But you tell that person every 15 minutes, you put up a white panel below your position. And one of our guys will look through it with binoculars. If something is... Yeah, hit record. Trying to reset. Okay, everyone, we just got knocked off again. They didn't like what we were talking about. And before everybody, if you just tuned in now and this is a replay, you've got to go to DutchJones.info. Go to DutchJones.info and go to the archive, but give it a few hours because now Olima has to edit that out, put the two pieces together. We just got reset. It was the internet, not us. It was you broadcast something there. It seems like whenever I start talking about something that's really good, that happens. On the phone is Robbie. I'm going to ask you to start over again, Robbie, talking about just start with what you started about with in plain sight codes.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying is, you mentioned stopping by the Shell station and picking up soda or whatever. You can hide your code in that. The Shell station could be a predetermined waypoint. Something we used to do when I was in the military was all of our waypoints, all of our points of interest, all had code names. So the Shell station could be a code name for, a designated position. You could,
right.
And just by saying stop by the Shell station and pick up, et cetera, the et cetera could also be a code for certain supplies or what have you.
And sure.
That's the best way to hide it in plain sight. And you can practice that, you take your maps and lay those out and say that, okay, this is, the Shell station, and it could be, so-and-so's house.
Mm-hmm.
And hide it in plain sight that way.
Well, I like that. Presetting everything. Everyone in your group should have a DeLorme map of your area, the map books that they sell, and have overlay grids that changes everything. It could be completely different, and then you have a rotation system to change those out in case they're compromised. Every time somebody leaves your group, you're going to ask them, hey, can you turn in all your code books and everything? They're not going to do it. It's never happened with me. They never turn them in. They always try and be honorable, say they're going to be honorable, especially even if they leave under neutral. Just change your codes every time somebody leaves.
Or memorize.
Yeah. Yeah, and then memorize them. Don't keep copies of code books, anything like that. But what you can do is you can have trainings on a regular basis just for changing your codes. And it's good, yeah. And everything means something else, which could mean something else completely. And then as we get different cells set up, especially here in California, we'll have a whole different level of codes between the different cells. Something that means one thing to you and me will mean nothing to somebody farther south. So, yeah, excellent point. It's an excellent point. Anything else you want to talk about, Robbie?
Well, not at the moment. I was going to talk about the FRS stuff, but I'd like to bring that point up. The radios that we have are dual band, which means they also dual receive at the same time. They're walkie-talkies, or HTs, as we call them.
Nice.
And you can, if you remember the part in Patriots, they were talking about how you can actually... have one person receives on one frequency that the other person's transmitting on.
Yeah, binary. Duplex would be the word, right?
Yeah, well, basically. So I transmit to you on one frequency, which you receive only on, but you transmit on another frequency. And it could be an entirely different band if you have like what I've got is the VHF-UHF. So you could be transmitting on VHF, and I hear it on UHF, and... Or I hear it on the VHF, but I transmit on UHF, which you receive.
Right.
And the radios we picked up, we got them off of eBay for $100.
Yeah.
And they're open for all of 2 meters and all of 440.
Plus, you can if you get a good one, you can program it with your home computer, right?
Yep, absolutely. And yeah. The cable is only a couple bucks more. And I tell you what, it's well worth it. And the radios that we've got also go into the FRS range. So if you need to communicate with somebody who doesn't have that same kind of radio, you can still do it with those radios. Now, here's the drawback. They're Chinese made.
Well, that's fine. I gave out a link for 409 radio. I think Minuteman can put it up there again. It's all Chinese, but $50 2-meter 440 dual banders.
Yeah.
If they work, they work. I mean, right now I've got two meter radios, and one of them was a Radio Shack one. I had it for a year, and now it just doesn't work. So you can buy whatever you want. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. The cost of those import radios, though, is dropping so much that it's actually becoming very, very affordable for someone to have. And the charge lasts quite a while, so you could actually put it in your pack and have it ready to go. And they're very small. They're the small portable handy talkie radios that right. That look like the expensive ones.
Yeah, yeah, and the interfaces are the same. I have, you know, they're in English, right? You're not going to get something that's all Chinese, are you?
Oh no. It's in English. In fact, the one I've got, when you turn it on, it actually talks to you. When you change channels, it talks to you. Disable that because you're not going to want that out in the field.
Well, I think they're being attacked by Asians or something. I don't know.
Yeah. but they also sell for these specific radios the throat mic.
Oh, nice.
And off that you have the little earbud that comes up and plugs in your ear, so you can hear and talk voice operated transmit.
Good, excellent. I really look forward to getting, because I need to get back into ham. I've forgotten so much, and it's such a good asset to have those skills, learning how to make antennas, learning how to make coax, put the right connectors on, the safety issues, that kind of stuff is all something that you're only going to learn if you take the effort and make the effort to learn how to do it.
Absolutely. When you're ready to study again, let me know.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially after the first of the year when we get through all the holidays and everything. I want to start doing so. I need to get some good radios. And the radios I have, we need to get them hooked up. So I'm sitting on a great asset, but I have no idea how to hook them up. So that's, see, even I'm not on the ball on this stuff, guys.
One more thing that I'd like to add for those who are interested in getting their ham license. Well, first off, the Morse code is no longer required to get your license.
Right.
A whole lot easier. And go to hamtestonline.com, mm-hmm. and you can study. You can take a practice exam for free. It's up to 50 questions. After that, it's like $20 depending on which course you want to go for. And you can study, and it guarantees you get your license. Guarantees you pass the test.
Now, does anyone offer the test online, or do you still have to go to find a testing site?
You have to find a testing site, like in the area of the local amateur radio clubs. We hold the test. You have to have certain specific people. The volunteer examiners, VEs, have to be present, have to have three of them. So it's still that way. It's not as hard as it used to be, where you have to go to the FCC office. You know, I think the nearest one here is in Fresno or something like that. But
okay.
You can go to your local radio club. Most of them, you know, if you Google your area for amateur radio club, you'll find something, and it'll come up, and they'll even tell you, usually on most of the club websites, they'll tell you when the next time they're holding a test.
Great, great. Okay, Robbie, we're getting back. We're getting to the top of the hour here. We're going to be switching over, and I'm waiting on a call for our other guests. Thank you for calling in. Always feel free to call in. And we need to bug you, and you need to do your own radio show on radios, maybe. You could do, like, once a week or something.
Yeah.
And we could do that. I'll come down to your house and show you how to log into this U-Broadcast thing. All you need is a microphone, and, you know, you don't have to do the music and the stupid sound effects like we do. We just do it because I'm a ham. Not that kind of ham. I'm a different kind of ham. But thank you, Robbie, and I appreciate you guys listening.
Not a problem, DJ. And take care of that puppy.
Will do. I'm sitting here sleeping right now, so.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let me turn on that microphone so I don't embarrass myself during the break. See, you got it there. You've got to find these people that are these resources. We can't know it all. God put Robbie and his father in our path, and we're picking their brain. They're picking our brain. It's all. Oh, here we go. Hello?
Hey, Josh.
We got no time left. We're going to a break.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I'll call in tomorrow then.
Okay. I don't think he was. Are you listening, Rocky Hill? We're playing the music. We're going to go to a break now, and after the break, we're going to have Steve Klein on. We're going to talk more about Code 20. I just got kicked off. Did you get kicked off? No. Okay, maybe I don't even need to be. I don't think I need to be on. I'm not even going to try to be on. I'm just going to close it. Make sure you go to the website, DutchJones.info, and also make sure you donate. We had another donation last night, but we need $500 to stay on the air per month. $500 per month. That's what we need. So we'll be back after the break with Steve Klein, and Liberty Tree Radio listeners will be in, so be nice. We'll have visitors.
The strong obey when a strong man shows them the way. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder, and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together,
thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, full of them. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, and we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio show coming to you live right now. November 23rd, 2010, and it is 6:03 p.m. Pacific time, just to let you know. And we won't be able to take any calls this hour because our one phone line is tied up, and I promise you after December 6th, we're going to switch that. We're going to be able to switch to cell phone. It'll be cheaper for you guys to call in. We're working on it right now. We're going to get a cell phone so we can switch to that number, and if you've got AT&T, it won't cost you to call in, and if it's after a certain time for you guys. We bring you the Christian militant worldview as best we can, and that means I can't do it alone, so I like to reach out, and other people reach out to me, and we share this microphone, this modern-day campfire. We invite other people to warm themselves and share their knowledge and their war stories. And those of you that listened, I think it was last week, we had Steve Klein on, and the overwhelming response to bring him back. I listened to my people. He got a good response from you guys going to his websites, checking stuff out, and I thank you you for doing that, because we like to share the Dutch Jones Love Fest with everybody who will listen. And so right now, Steve Klein, former Spec Warrior, or I don't know if Cell Warrior, I don't even want to. I can't even go down his list of laurels, but he's been there. He's been in the gap. He's been fighting. He's looked in the eye of the enemy, and he's applying his skills to the holy cause of liberty today. And he's focusing on the modern jihad that is foisted against us now, our enemy Islam. And without further ado, Steve, are you there?
I'm here. I couldn't be happier. We're okay. Surrounded. We're target rich. And you know what? I don't even have to use my sights, and I'll nail the punks any way I shoot.
Okay. Well, he doesn't get much more motivated than that. What did you want to talk to us about tonight? I already know, and I kind of tease it, but just the microphone is yours, brother.
You're too kind. Thank you for the great introduction. I am really fired up. I'm pumped. I'm sick and tired of pastors getting up there and saying, oh, boys and girls, I'm really excited. I'm not excited. I'm pumped. I am ready to take these guys on. I wrote an email to my group, and I wrote, in the fullness of time, it has begun, and Christ will trample these bastards underfoot. In accordance with the original battle hymn of the Republic, we're going to grind these guys up. Federalist Paper number 78, alter or abolish and reinstitute based on God's law written on the heart, is found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the law of nations. Now, that's a really fascinating place to start, the law of nations. I'm going to work into that a little backwards, and then we're going to talk about the three great jihads. Okay. For 1,400 years, Islam has been fighting jihad everywhere where they run into people who are not Muslims. Now, a lot of people don't realize it, but we have lived through two great jihads, and we're in the beginning stages of the third great jihad. Islam is at war globally many times, thousands of times bigger than the Nazis, the fascists, the communists, et cetera, et cetera. These guys have been around for 1,400 years. But I want to preface it first. This strange notion, I know a lot of you are not in the United States, and you're not really that familiar with our constitutional Anglo-American common law heritage, but you can go online and just Google or Yahoo United States Constitution, bring it up, go to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10. This is really important as we engage in this intellectual warfare, this spiritual warfare that will quickly become physical warfare. Sooner or later, sometime in the next 5 to 50 years, we're going to be fighting for our survival. So, globally, you can Yahoo or Google on your computer, bring it up, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and the last three words of that clause are the law of nations. Now, it tells us how we engage with pirates. This is going to sound strange, especially if you're from Texas, but when General Santa Anna of the Republic of Mexico attacked the Alamo, he declared that the fellas in the Alamo were pirates. I know a lot of you are shaking your heads. Please, go to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10 of the United States Constitution. It's why we have the Constitution, because the first and foremost and only true purpose of government is self-defense.
Right.
Agape is the fulfilling of all law. And you will look in there, I don't know if you were able to look it up or not, Dutch, but I don't have it memorized, but I know what it means. This is piracies. Pirates are taken care of in accordance with the law of nations.
Right.
The law of nations is clearly established through Christian political science, the father of international law, Hugo Grotius, the basis of the Nuremberg trial, that the law of nations is the law written on the heart for the individual, written for the European nations. And when Santa Anna said he was going to treat the guys in the Alamo as pirates, he was declaring the law of nations. Pirates are not given due process. They're not captured. They're killed, summarily shot. Now, this sounds strange, but I want everybody to understand this is the basis of what I'm talking about. This is the essence of our ability, Federalist Paper number 78 in the Declaration of Independence, to alter or abolish and reinstitute. What I am saying is all in accordance with Anglo-American common law, Anglo-Australian common law, Anglo-Canadian common law, the Anglos going back to understanding this notion that if a nation wants to destroy inalienable rights, life, liberty, and I say the pursuit of virtue, that's what it originally meant, then it is our duty to fight back. Now, begin with the three great jihads. We do not have a right to fight back. We have a duty to fight back. If we get killed in action and we report to heaven and we're standing before Jesus and we refuse to support and defend our family, 1 Timothy 5:8 says we are worse than infidels if we don't take care of our families. That means we're not believers. So we must do this. We do it properly. We do it in accordance with Anglo-American common law, with proper theology. We arm, we link 3 to 5 families together. We organize under the 4 organic charters of America, which seems to me to be the highest grade of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity throughout the world ever. And then we prepare.
Okay.
Our compact is number 1, Declaration of Independence number 2. Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance says that religion is necessary for good government. At the time that they wrote that, they meant the Protestant religion, and then we go to the Constitution minus slavery. We're going to work backwards. We are in the beginning stages of the Third Great Jihad. The Third Great Jihad began in 1973 with the Yom Kippur War, when the price of gasoline spiked. It was around 30 cents or so in 1973, as I recall. I was 23 years old then. We had to do odd, even with license plates, wait in line to get gasoline. Right. Here's the key. For the first time in the history of Saudi Arabia, they finally had surplus capital immediately because they're Muslims. Immediately because they're Muslims and they operate under Sharia law. And the Greek word for how they operate is meseo, hate. Hate is the fulfilling of Islamic law. Hate is the fulfilling of Sharia law. So when they had surplus capital, they immediately went out and they funded global jihad. From 1973, you can see the rise in all of the suicide bombers, terrorist acts, and everything, and they all flow, follow the money, from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we're in the initial stages. We're still in the incipient stages of the Third Great Jihad. It's already global. There's been terrorist attacks in how many countries, Dutch?
Just about everyone that isn't bending over for them.
Right. And the other day, you were engaged with the Muslim Student Association, and they were trying to bring in their lying, their jihad through the tongue. They were lying to you. That's called
Taqiyya.
And go ahead, give us a couple of minutes and tell how you beat the hell out of these guys properly.
Well, those of you that didn't hear it, we went in, Mike was there with me and about 7 or 8 other folks from, it was a mixture of militia and churchgoers, and we went in, and because we are a history teaching church, we had some ammo on our hands, and we had just finished a couple of meetings with Steve here, so we knew what to do. And we asked specific questions that proved their satanic religion. And they got very nervous. They tried to bully us by surrounding us with about 20 to 30 large men in this group of about 150 to 200 Muslims that were in this public building, and it was a veterans memorial building. And after we got real quiet and sat down, we spread out, and they left us with just 11 keepers, and they began their lies. They called the Ground Zero Mosque a recreation center. Every time we asked them about a specific moment in history when Islam murdered, raped, or brutalized non-Muslims, they said, oh no, that was a secular government, that didn't happen. The thing that took the cake was when they said the Ottoman Turks were not Muslims, that the Armenian Holocaust that happened in the early part of the last century was done by secular government officials. It was not Muslims. So they lied through the whole thing. And then when I finally got them, Steve had fed me a question before we went saying, a good Muslim does what Muhammad does. WWMD. I love how that sounds, WMD. And I started down that line of thinking. I said, well, and I got them to admit that, yes, we must follow Muhammad. And I said, okay, well, if that's true, then, and then before I could even finish, they're like, oh, we're done, time's up, we got to get out of here, we got to go. So, yeah, they lied, evasive, and they were actually very scared of us at the end. I could tell they were shaking and stuff because we knew what we were doing.
Good. That's a great point, Dutch. We don't have to intimidate, but if we just stand our ground, they get scared.
Sure.
The Arabic word for contempt is hocht, H-O-C-H-T, hocht. And if you stand your ground, which Dutch did, you win. For example, right. I was surrounded by 250 Somali Muslims in San Diego about 6 years ago. And they were all screaming and yelling, Allah Akbar. Well, I went into drill instructor mold, United States Marine Corps, held my ground. I was scared to death, but I refused to show it. And I was able to get these guys to back off. When my son was in Iraq and Afghanistan, I had taught him that. And the Muslims used to shove around the Marines and the soldiers. But when they came to him, they knew quickly. He would pound them. I had also taught him, look, son, make sure nobody's watching, and leave no marks. Now, that's a very loving thing to do. It's a gafi fulfills the law because he became a peacemaker, which is exactly what Dutch did. And when the Muslims, they don't know what to do. They go like a computer into meltdown. If you stand your ground, you don't back down, you don't have to yell, you don't have to scream. When I went into drill instructor mode, I wasn't yelling and screaming, but it was obvious that I was in control, and what Dutch did is perfect. And then that line, the Muhammad is the perfect man, and they will always agree, yes? And so you model your life after what would Muhammad do, correct? And they'll always go, yes, of course. And then you can bring up the points that he did. He had sex with a six-year-old girl. He engaged in the fornicating, perverted act of to thigh, like a chicken has thighs, and you can go online and see that. And once again, send emails to Dutch. We can provide you with all this proof. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're in the beginning stages of the third great jihad. Proof? Look around you. If there's a mosque near you, if there's a Muslim student association near you, if there's any Muslim group or Muslims in a gas station or a hotel, what are they doing here? They hate freedom. They hate liberty. I've got a YouTube here. I may or may not play it. Anjam Chaudhary, the leader in Great Britain. But in any case, we're definitely in the third great jihad. And right now, it's all lying, taqiyya.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, almost all of our pastors have bought into this craziness. Third great jihad began in 1973. I give it 15 to 50 more years before it turns into global insane warfare that makes World War II look like Boy Scouts. Now, Dutch did a great job on mentioning the Ottoman Empire because the Second Great Jihad ended in 1683 with the siege of Vienna, with Ottoman Turks had surrounded and laid siege to Vienna. Out of that, that's in the Yugoslavian, Greater Yugoslavian strip above Greece and Macedonia. The remnants of the Ottoman Empire are Bosnia,
right.
Albania, Kosovo, and there's Muslims flowing all over that place. Val the Impaler, the legends of Dracula come out of that, and if you watch the Dracula movies, you'll see that one of the key ways they back down the vampire or Dracula is they use a cross. Well, when John Sobieski III, the king of Poland in 1683, came with his army, they were all carrying crosses, and when they showed the crosses to the Muslims, it was just like showing a cross to Dracula. And it's awesome if you stop and think about this stuff. So the Second Great Jihad ended in 1683. John Sobieski with a Christian army, 70,000, came in and beat the devil, killed a bunch of Muslims. And so the Second Great Jihad ended in 1683. However, vestiges of the Ottoman Empire survived, and a lot of our soldiers have been to Bosnia, and the Albanians actually have embedded themselves with our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. I have a young friend, when I showed him some Albanian Al-Qaeda flags, he looked at him and he said, those are the guys that were inside the base with us that never got mortared or anything. That's because Muslims will never attack each other.
So much for Bush's coalition, right?
Well, yeah, exactly, and that's a great point. There is no way that a Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or atheist will ever get along with a Muslim, period. Islam shares power with no one. And, of course, Condoleezza Rice the other day. I think you told me, Dutch, that she was bragging that she had created a democracy in Iraq.
Yeah, yeah. She was on the, it was actually the Democracy Club on the morning of Sunday morning about a week ago. She was bragging about how great it was.
That's crazy. Iraq and Afghanistan, the State Department insisted when they built the Constitution that the law of the land, the law of the nations for them. And in fact, Islam has its own Islamic law of the nations. Very interesting. And they came out with their law of nations, contrasting our old European law of nations years ago. Is very fascinating to compare the two, how they work together. For example, Maseo is a fulfilling of all Sharia law. In Islam, they will use widows and orphans as shields as
right.
part of their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas even our atheistic soldiers and Marines will shield women and children.
Yep.
This is fascinating, and it worked its way out in the war in Iraq, in the Battle of Fallujah. The Marines were accused of being assassins because they brought in their sniper teams, and they were doing bullseyes between the eyes of the Muslims, and the Muslims came out and twisted using al-Taqiyya, saying that the Marines had sent out cores of assassins, but that's not what happened. What happened was Marines were getting sick and tired of not being able to return fire, so they brought their snipers up with their infantry, put them at the front, and said, kill them. Kill them.
Yeah.
So the snipers were killing them with shots, headshots between the eyes, and then the Muslims twisting everything did that. Now, there's an instructor that I know by the name of Dutch Jones, and he's got these great targets, and he's got some background there so that if somebody... Go ahead and tell them how those targets work. That was cool when I was up there.
We use hostage-taking targets that we had printed up from ATAC Academy, where the front person is the hostage, and there's two shaded, slightly off-color... going to the left or to the right just slightly, so you have 2.5 inches on either side of the hostage's head. And what we tell people you do, we get a marker out and you write a loved one's name on the hostage, and then there's a small triangle to get the small little target to get the person that's behind the terrorist. You want to do a complete brain stop on them, so you got to pick your target very carefully without hitting your hostage, and make it so that their nervous system collapses and they can't take the picture. I forgot about that. Those guys that came up for Code 20, we had them doing that. And I was the hostage, and Lou drilled me right in the jaw. He said he did it after the guys were dead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Lou is a great shot. He's a great kid. Lou, just do me one favor. Don't be beating me up. I'm an old man, okay, buddy?
I haven't sent you the pictures yet of our last training, what he did to those training dummies with a knife and a garrote. It was probably the most brutal thing anyone's ever seen him do. I see him do it all the time because I'm a victim of it usually. But
Your training actually is agape, is the fulfilling of all law. If somebody
right.
grabs your loved one, and a Muslim, they're going to cut their throat. They don't care. Remember, for them, hate, Maseo, is the fulfilling of all Sharia. So they'll use a widow or orphan that
no
they can care less. In the Iraq-Iran war,
they
were taking little boys, 5 years old to 12 years old, putting them out in front of the soldiers, and they became human minesweepers.
Yeah.
The little boys would walk in the mines and be blown up. That's all documented. That's all Maseo. Hate is the fulfilling of all law. So what Dutch is teaching people is that agape, under our Christian worldview, Christian militant worldview, agape is the fulfilling of all law.
Yeah.
Okay. So the third great jihad began in 1973 was for the first time in the history of Saudi Arabia. They had surplus capital, fulfilling Maseo, the Greek word for hate. Hate is the fulfilling of all Sharia. They began funding suicide bombers, terrorists, murderers, assassins. Some of the worst terrorists and assassins are in the Philippines. They're called the Abu Sayyaf. Dutch, I think you're familiar with them, right?
Yep, in the Philippines.
Yep, and I have pictures of the United States Marines about 1920, right after World War One, fighting the Muslim Moros, the Abu Sayyaf, in Mindanao. Very fascinating. The Second Great Jihad ended, the actual battle ended in 1683 when John Sobieski of Poland with a combined Allied Christian army came in and rescued him. However, the remnants of the Muslims stayed back in significant portions of Yugoslavia. you can go online and type in Muslims, Nazis, World War II, and you will see how the Nazis went down to the Muslims in today's Bosnia, Albania, and Kosovo, and were recruiting large divisions of Muslim soldiers who actually went and fought the Russians, and that began. See, the Russians have been fighting the Muslims for years and years and years. In fact, a lot of the Russian alphabet is derived from the Greek, because the Greeks were driven from Greece up into Russia by guess who? The Muslims.
Yeah.
Goes back a long way. So we're in the beginning stages of the third great jihad, all funded by Saudi Arabia with their ancillary of co-affiliates, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and all of the different Muslim countries under there. Second great jihad, the actual battles ended with 1683, but it left the seeds of huge problems of Muslims in Kosovo, Albania, and Bosnia. By the way, we talk about that. Bosnia is the center for all of the heroin trade, drug trade, sex slave trade, gun running, assassins for hire, all from Afghanistan, funded by Saudi Arabia, working with the Chechenian rebels who murdered the 600 people, including the 300 little children. All of that stuff goes to Albania. They were using the veterans from Afghanistan as their tutors and teachers, brought them in and hardened up the Bosnians and got them all set up. I've seen Bosnian soldiers here in San Diego and in Salt Lake City. They look very vicious. They love Islam, and they hate us Christians. So that thing is a brewing cauldron, and a lot of the stuff that's happening in the United States, honor killings, murders, Salt Lake City about 4 or 5 years ago, the Salt Lake trolley murders was a young Bosnian guy trained by the Afghanis. So this stuff's coming out. Bosnia is still a hellhole in the third great jihad. The first great jihad ended in 732 A.D., with a guy by the name of Charles Martel. What happened was, with the death of Muhammad, his followers using PMS, we talked about that last week, power, money, and sex, and really started developing their RPM, religious, political, and military religion. And so they blew out of Arabia through Egypt, where, by the way, they were all Christians. The first major church and denomination of Christians was the Egyptian Christians, started by St. Mark. He was tied to the back of a tail of a horse, they say, and dragged through the streets and killed. But in any case, what they did was they tried to reason and dialogue with the Muslims. They thought they could be passive and convince the Muslims, backfired, and they have suffered enormously for 1,400 years. The Muslims, the Arabs, blew through there all across North Africa, into Morocco, across the Straits of Gibraltar. They conquered most of Spain in 10 years. They went over the Pyrenees Mountains, and then they ran into a character by the name of Charles Martel.
Oh, I love this part.
Now, Charles Martel was a smart cookie. In fact, he's the grandfather of Charlemagne. Charlemagne, Charles the Magnificent, and Charles the Magnificent gave us a lot of the beginning stages of our modern-day peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. Now, Charles Martel, somehow, I don't know where he was from France, but just like we are right now, this is why I'm so excited. We're in the third great jihad. For years, Dutch has been working. For years, his pastor, Warren Campbell, has been working. For years, I've been working on this stuff. All of a sudden, now this stuff's starting to click. People are starting to understand Islam is Maseo, hate is the fulfillment of Allah. Now, when Charles Martel was wandering around doing whatever he did in France, probably no big guy, but evidently he heard about these dark-complected, bushy-haired people who rode on horses, who captured, raped, murdered, beat, yelled, screamed, did all of these things, and they had triggered the emotion in Charles Martel so that he wanted to figure out, who in the devil are these guys?
Right.
So I would imagine Charles Martel, using proper military techniques, wandered up by himself. I'll bet he had a group of 50 guys. He probably went and talked to some other guys and said, you know, I've been hearing about these people, these Muslims. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they're from. All I know is all of a sudden they showed up with hundreds of thousands of people on horseback, pillaging, raping, murdering, burning down our villages. So Charles Martel does a recon. And I can imagine him moving at night, carefully, terrified, not knowing what he's going to run into. The stuff that you did in Grenada, the stuff that I did in Vietnam.
Right.
So he's got his men all organized, just like Nehemiah, how Nehemiah organizes men into groups and whatnot. And they're out there scoping the area. I could see him finally coming up to the forward edge of the battle area, the FEBA, the forward edge of the battle area, and night sets. And then the Muslims light all their fires for over 300,000 Muslims, some estimates they had 300,000 Muslims. You can imagine the fires of 300,000 men probably went from horizon to horizon.
Yeah, lit up the sky.
Exactly, lit up the sky. You can imagine how absolutely mortified and terrified Charles Martel was, but he didn't budge. He didn't flinch. He did like Dutch did the other night. He did like I did. Not backing down, not submitting to the authority of the hellions from hell, Islam. He stood his ground. He took mental notes. He probably drew sketches. And then he probably, as the forward edge of the battle area, the FEBA, continued moving forward, I would imagine his recon group sent out in teams of 2, 3, 4, 5 were watching. And then they would come back probably every 3 or 4 nights and say, hey, I saw them charge this way. I saw their weapons. I saw their tactics. Mm-hmm. I saw how they captured people and brutalized them and murdered them. They're doing a recon, passing along the tactics to each guy. As Charles Martel fell back, doing a proper retreat, which is an excellent engagement in battle, you retreat, you save your men, you save your weapons, you go 50, 100 miles back, you set up your earthworks and your defense, and you get ready. That's exactly what Charles Martel was doing. A Christian, militant world view. For the first time in his life, he's watching these jihadists. He's seeing them rape and murder and cut off heads, burn up women, and do all these horrible things that these people from hell do. So now as he's falling back, I can imagine, without saying a word, people are watching him and thinking, wow, this guy's organized. He's got a code 20. for every Muslim he's looking at, he's getting 20 recruits to just observe. And now they're starting to automatically arm, link up with 3 to 5 families, organize and prepare. They're falling back. They're starting to work out leaders, leadership, battle plans, all of these things as Islam is going forward. I can imagine the commander in charge of the Muslims scoffing and laughing with his men at night thinking, these French, these Christians are so worthless. Look at them. They won't even stand and fight.
Yeah.
They were being brilliant. So within 30, 50, 100, 150, maybe even a days, maybe even a full year, 365 days, Charles Martel assembled a gigantic army just in front of the gates of Paris. Now, that means from the Pyrenees to the gates of Paris, somewhere between 700 and 1,000 miles. This juggernaut of 300,000 Muslims has been just devastating France, but now they're going to get their asses kicked. They're going to run into agape is the fulfilling of all law. Love is the fulfilling of all law. They're going to run into 1 Timothy 5:8. Those who do not take care of their family are worse than infidels. Charles Martel and his men were Christians. They took care of their family. They had the proper theology. They were Christians. They armed. They linked up with 3 to 5 families, with 3 to 5 more, and pretty soon the 3 to 5 became 300,000 to 500,000.
Wow.
They organized and they prepared, and when the Muslims crashed into them, they were soundly defeated in a 2-day pitched battle. And it's my understanding they had no cavalry, just infantry and earthworks. They thoroughly defeated the Muslims, and then Charles Martel and his men followed them followed them, forced them, pushed them, shoved them, and he went to the fourth stage of, first we start with PMS, power, money, and sex, RPM, religious, political, and military, MPH is the third stage, Muslims per host, and the fourth stage he did DAM. He poured all Muslims now. He shoved those bastards back into the Pyrenees, over the Pyrenees, back into Spain, and said, you guys stay over there, you come over here, we'll kill you. Agape is the fulfilling of all law.
That's right. That's right. I love how we can take from history, and the God puts us in a good place with good men here at our church, because we get to meet people like Steve here, Pastor Warren, Mark, all the others that come through to teach us this stuff. I knew about Charles Martel. I knew what he did, but I never thought about it on a guerrilla warfare level. I never thought about it on a militia level like that. That one man walking that distance heard there was a problem and then responded to it. And we can jump forward centuries, and we're seeing the setup of the same things today. It's already happening in Europe. It's already happening in Europe, but America is next. But the goodness of this is that God's given us a grace period here to listen to guys like Steve. Now, if you want to listen to more about, he's going to keep talking, but I wanted to let him get a drink of water or whatever right now. AbolishIslam.com, AbolishIslam.com, AbolishIslam.com. All the emails I'm getting right now are all, how do I join, how do I get involved? Code 20.
You're already in.
You already are. If you're a Christian and a warrior, that's it. You know, and if you're not a warrior, you're a watcher, you know.
We'll explain after the break what to do next.
Okay. Lou, why don't we roll right now, take a little bit of a break, let these folks know about some of the products we're selling. You ready, Lou? Lou's having fun here with the puppy. He wasn't paying attention. That's the kind of warrior priest that Lou is. Give him a puppy or a knife. That's fine.
Amen.
We'll be back after the break.
Well, life in Middle East is really kind of fun. We never get a job and we get to shoot a gun. I don't like Jews, but I have 20 sons. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When the sun come up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wore a hookah. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I wouldn't trade my life for a camel or a goat. And when I get a chance, I like to cut somebody's throat. And when I point my gun for me, you will vote. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Kill infidels all day if I could, but Allah and my wives wouldn't take it very good. So I bomb when I could, pray when I should. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wear a burqa. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Sitting right by his side, he said, shoot women first and do it with pride. And thank Allah, you're the jihad boy. My daddy taught me young how to make me a bomb. I really think Americans are mean to Saddam. I make excuse that they just hate Islam. And thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wear a burqa.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bullet. We'll send roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order.
Attention.
It is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
And now for something completely different.
If you want, I can get you the birth certificate of a child who died in 1953.
I love when you play sound effects from King of the Hill, Lou. I love Rusty Shackelford. Nobody answered that trivia question last week to win a prize.
Rusty Shackelford.
You guys, whoever tells me who that is and email us with the answer. Who's Rusty Shackelford? And we'll take the first three people who email us, and we'll send you some kung fu fighting videos of Lou's choice, right? Or what martial art do you want to give him, Lou? You want to give him split-second survival? Okay, we'll give you split-second survival training videos. First three people that email Dutch at dutchjones.info on who Rusty Shackelford is. What's the secret identity? Everybody's like, I don't know. But we're here talking with Steve Klein. We're talking about the third attempt at Islam to take over the world and destroy us all that is good and all that is beautiful and all that is Christian. And we're getting lots of good comments, and we appreciate you guys listening in. And I think it's funny that people in the chat room are saying, well, this guy really needs to come out of his shell. He's just being kind of mellow, you know, as a joke. But he was saying that his inner child needs to be spanked, is what Steve said. And they're saying, please be a little more clear and specific in how you really feel. So with no further ado, we go back to Steve Klein from Code 20, abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. And let's continue this history lesson of evil.
You can tell I can laugh. I'm not going to cry, but I can laugh. Hey, look, I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17. I was in boot camp when I was 17 years old. I was in Vietnam. When I was 18, I was leading kill teams. Let's see here. I was leading kill teams when I was 18 and 19 years old in Vietnam. So,
great education.
No, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna. You want to know how I really feel? Just come meet me, and we'll have some good Christian fellowship, and we'll talk about it—the proper way to get rid of these bastards from hell. How's that?
Yeah, we'll do a lot of shooting and stuff and training together up here at the Church of Kauai.
Amen. So, I came to the Lord about 1996 or so. I was 46 years old, and I remember thinking, I don't really fit in with these guys for obvious reasons. I really don't fit in with these guys, Lord. I really don't know what to do. I don't want to, you know, join the choir, and I don't want to wear a pink shirt, but I know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I know that you want me to do something. So it came to me that the Lord said, well, look, you're a former military officer. You know how to organize. You're a battle planner. When I went up through the ranks in the Marine Corps, I started off as a 17-year-old private. They offered me captain. I turned it down because I was sick and tired of the political correctness. I didn't get that high a rank. However, I had enormous influence because I actually was a trained battle planner on the staff of a battalion, had been on a minor staff role as a regiment of Marines, and then a battalion of Marines. We were 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. We were the ready regiment or battalion for the entire United States Marine Corps. We were the hot go-to guys. And so I had a lot of experience in actual warfare. I went on kill teams / ambush for 8 months in a row, 7 nights a week. I never had a break, never went on R&R, 7 nights in a week for approximately 240 nights in a row, every stinking night.
Wow. So
that's what I did. And in those days, we did not have night observation devices. And one of the favorite tricks of the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army was they would wait until the monsoons and real heavy rains, lightning storms would knock out our radios and stuff. And so we were looking for them. They were looking for us. And it was just basically we would run into each other, small size units. The most I ever had was 14 Marines and a Navy corpsman. Normally I only had 6 or 7 due to attrition. And then I had a group of Vietnamese boys from 12 years old, old men to 80 years old. And I had as few as 7 or 8 of them, and we were going up against similar type units of Viet Cong and North Vietnamese with AK-47s, and then they had just changed tactics. I was up by Hamburger Hill, Ashaw Valley, and they put in 3 RPG guys per 12 North Vietnamese soldiers. So when we got into a firefight, dude, it didn't last very long, but believe me, we put out a lot of stuff. So yeah, I speak my mind, and one of the things as a battle planner, sitting on a staff, there was 10 of us. The fellow in charge ended up being a 3-star general. He was 2-star general when he was in command of the 2nd Marine Division that blew through Kuwait City. And then we had another guy who was a company commander. He ended up being a 3-star general. So that unit, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, if you got into that unit as a battle planner, they foresaw that you were going to go real far. But anyways, that's what I did. So my rank was not that high, but my influence was off the charts because I was the electronic warfare officer, and of course, all of your everything revolves around electronics, so I was like a quarterback.
Right.
So all of the tactics and everything. So while my rank was low, my influence and my experience are extremely high. Now back to Code 20. Gentlemen, ladies, children, old people, if you want to be in Code 20, congratulations. You're in. The beauty of Code 20 is that what we do is we merely find all of the terrorists in our local area. Code comes from zip code. We all in the United States live in a zip code. In Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, they live in some kind of a postal code, but it's based on a geographical region. So with the doctrine of your, you know, take care of your own backyard, start going to gas stations. Go to mom-and-pop hotels. If you find a Muslim there, it's a 99% chance it's a terror cell. If you go to a mosque, it's almost 100% chance it's a terror cell.
Yeah.
You go to any of the groups where they flow from the Muslim Brotherhood, and again, you can contact Dutch. I can send you all of the documentation, all the proof.
Sure.
All you do in Code 20 is you use their organization, and guess what? Once we start zeroing in on each one of their individual cells, then we will automatically demonstrate the pattern of the cell throughout Canada, United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Kenya. We have branches in Croatia, Bosnia, mm-hmm. Kenya, United Kingdom, Pakistan, and it's growing. So Code 20, you just start your own group. It's that hard. And all you're going to do is observe and recruit. Recruit, recruit, and observe. And pretty soon you're going to have 3 to 5 families. You're going to organize based on the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance of 1784, Article 3 in the Constitution minus slavery. Now, if you have something else, if you're from Australia or from the United Kingdom and you have something in your history, your Anglo-American or your Anglo-Australian history that you think is better, use it.
Yeah.
All of Yeah, and so this thing, Code 20, don't be afraid. Tell your friends. The reason is, in cell warfare, we're going to overwhelm those who want to stop us.
Sure.
If there's 10 of us, they can stop us. If there's 100, they can stop us. If there's 1,000, they can stop us. But if there's 30 million, their resources are stretched. Believe me, right now, their resources are stretched so thin. The Muslim, the New World Order, the feds, all of these guys who want to shut us down, who don't believe in Federalist Paper number 78.
Yeah. They're,
it says in Federalist Paper number 78, it's online, it says that the hallmark and cornerstone of a constitutional republic is for we the people to have the ability, the right, the duty to alter or abolish and reinstitute based on the inalienable rights of man. So Code 20 is simple. Don't make it a secret.
Yeah.
Send it out to everybody on your email list. I'm now a member of Code 20. You can send an email to Dutch, and I can send you four. Dutch has got copies of my emails. I sent this out today.
Yeah.
I do live radio in upstate New York. And here's some of the stuff I read because my degree is in political theory, political science. Here's what I read from Political Science, a book that's part of Upper Division Political Science in the United States. This is a book called The Behemoth, which came out of the English Civil War. And I read this on the radio for discussing sedition, rebellion, and the breakdown of authority. Behemoth. And then I explain, alter or abolish and reinstitute. All right, now I'm going to go down a list of the email I sent out, I think yesterday, Dutch, you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Code 20 is an interesting way with almost no resources to keep Islam under wraps. The overarching thought behind Code 20 is Romans 13:10, agape is fulfilling of the law. Code 20 is working. A number of individuals and groups internationally have already begun Code 20. Code 20 is simple, so simple it sounds amateurish. Don't let it fool you. It's operating perfectly and growing internationally. Code 20 merely involves citizens around the world to find the Muslim terrorists in their code. In the United States, it's known as a zip code.
Yeah.
Code 20 relies on the International Muslim Terrorist Network to provide the structure. Guess what? You don't have to go out and make up a diagram. You don't have to come up with a battle plan. You don't have to come up with anything except you go in to fill your car up with gasoline. You go in, and the dude behind the counter has got basically Allah Akbar written all over his face. You look at him, and you're like, gee, I wonder if he's a Muslim. Why do you think all of the gas stations have Muslim guys working there? Because they're all terrorists. They're all spreading information. They're all fifth column. Same thing with the mom-and-pop hotels. So when you identify these guys, you don't talk to them, you don't harass them, you don't shove them, you don't harangue them, you don't
hurt
beat them. You don't do anything. You just say, inside of your head, you go, that dude's a terrorist.
Yep. Make a note of it.
Make a note of it. You don't say anything to the guy. I have located hundreds of these terrorists. In fact, I was so successful going to mosques in Southern California that the FBI was actually following me, not to harass me, but because my background is cell warfare, and I was finding all these cells. So the FBI, being smart, went, why don't we just follow Steve and his guys, and he'll take us to the terror cells, ho, 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 which is exactly what happened. It's pretty funny. Might as well laugh. Look, dude, if you're going to die, you might as well die laughing. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I know a lot of my humor, I tend to be arrogant. I know I tend to be abrupt. I tend to be brash. Look, guys, my son was blown up by a suicide bomber. My son was shot after they blew him up. Somehow, my kid survived and rescued 18 United States soldiers, killing a bunch of Muslims.
Yeah.
I take this stuff serious. I sleep with so many guns, pistols in my house, and my wife does too. I've had so many death threats. I've come to the point where I'm saying, you want me, come get me. When you want me, when Jesus says it's time for me to go, I'm a warrior, come get me. When he says game over, I'm done.
Right.
All right. So think that way, act that way. All right. I was going to start going crazy, but I won't.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm in a good mood, dude. I am so pumped because I can sense people are finally
paying attention.
They're catching the Declaration of Independence, but after a long train of abuses. And what that means is, like in the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson, finally, when he saw his kid murdered and his house burned down, he went, that's it. I'm in. I'm going to get him. There you go. And I see globally a lot of people are beginning to do this. Okay. Code 20 relies on the International Muslim Terrorist Network to provide the structure. Code 20 will link different groups together like a string of pearls as more citizens locate and observe the terror cells in their geographical code. Now, look, some of my best Code 20 people are 65-year-old gals.
Yeah.
They don't have to fight anybody, and they're not going to fight anybody. And I tell them, dude, you're not Jackie Chan. Just quit that. All you're going to do, like Swamp Fox, Francis Marion had, he was a major general in Revolutionary War. The most men he had was 50. His sword was rusted, closed, shut in his scabbard, and he never fired his pistol.
Didn't need to.
He had 50 men. Most of them were boys. Half were black, half were white. But he drove Cornwallis absolutely insane using a system of Code 20. When the Muslims finally go crazy, which they will, we talked about that, MPH, Muslims per host, they will go crazy when they get to a certain ratio. This has happened in France where they burned down 300 cities around Paris,
mm-hmm.
Happening in Bosnia, England. There is sections in England where the people are absolutely terrified and the Muslims are throwing bricks through their houses all day long, etc. Okay, so the next step. Code 20 is a geographical answer to the growing, sophisticated, powerful global terrorist network. Meseo, the Greek word for hate, is the fulfilling of all Islamic law that Muslim terrorists subscribe to. They do not believe in freedom. In fact, you
not
can type
all.
In this leader for the United Kingdom. His name is Anjem Chaudhary. And if we have enough time... How much time we got left?
3 minutes. You got 3 minutes, brother.
We don't have time. So Code 20, based on zip code, is organized as a decentralized unit, like a voluntary fire department. It just happens. You don't need organization. It naturally grows. Code 20, based on a zip code, a geographical area, recruits local citizens to link up with others with a goal of finding 20 like-minded citizens to quietly observe the Muslim terrorists near them. Code 20, find 20 citizens who seek peace in a code, who are willing to stay back and not stalk, not bother, but keep an eye on the Muslim terrorists in their code.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it, Code 20. Code 20 is a group of citizens using the Constitution and Anglo-American common law to observe and prepare for the inevitable. Islam always erupts into warfare. Islam always erupts into warfare. Islam always erupts into warfare. Code 20. Hours ago, scored a great success with Muslim terrorists last night. 9 U.S. citizens peacefully entrained to expose the fraud of the Muslim Brotherhood who claim Islam is love and peace. Dutch Jones, congratulations.
Thank you.
Kick ass. Take names. Forget prisoners. Good job. I'm done.
Well, thank you. Wow. So it's pretty clear cut. It's been done before. It needs to be done now. We need to unite. Coram Deo, under the face of God, against all enemies against Christ. If you're an enemy of Christ, you're our enemy, period.
Yeah.
And the point of this is, and a lot of people I know, I don't think I'm going to get it from my audience, but who knows where this signal goes. People are probably, you know, chewing their fingernails right now saying, we Christians can't do this. Well, then if you think that, then you're right, you can't. But those of us that can, there's a clarion call going out right now. AbolishIslam.com, the church at Kawiya.org, DutchJones.info. You want to know more about it? You reach out to us. We'll get you in the right direction. I had, since your show last week, I've had like 4 or 5 people find people in their own community that didn't even know existed that were like-minded. Going, I never heard of this before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
really working.
Yeah, so the more that reach out, the better it'll be. I can hear the music in my headphones. You can't hear it though, Steve, but don't hang up. We don't want to talk to you before the show, after the show.
Okay.
So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for participating in the chat room. I love the irreverent sense of humor we have because it shows that we have a courage. When you can joke about your enemy, that doesn't mean you're underestimating him. It means you're putting him in the proper position. You got your sights on him. You understand what's going on, and I appreciate that. If you have any questions, send them to the email, and I will pass them on. And those people that seem serious enough, I will pass those on. But you can go to abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com, and you can find out more information. Seek us out on Facebook. Check out DutchJones.info. Donate, donate, donate. If you like the message you're hearing here, pitch in. $5, $10 a month, doesn't matter to me, as long as you're making an effort. Those of you that have already donated this month, I do not want to see money from you. I'm sick and tired of you guys carrying the burden. I know you want to donate. Don't. Take that money, make copies of this show, and hand it out to people that need to hear it. I would rather you do that. We're gonna be back tomorrow, and starting next week, a week from Thursday, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell will be on in this hour. Every Thursday, Warren Mark Campbell. Every Tuesday, you'll have Steve Klein. Every Thursday, from 6 to 7, you will have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell talking about the Holy Cause of Liberty. Thank you for all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. And remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. God bless you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow.